Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't it really seem at times like death is king? Really, there are stages in our lives where death takes all the attention. But if death were really king, think about it. There would be no flowers, or chocolate, or laughter, music, books, no leisure, rest, or arts, no culture, to say the least. No, death isn't reigning. God hasn't abandoned us, even while we so often at times abandon him. Even after Adam and Eve betrayed the Lord, he still loved them. He walked in the garden after they had sinned, despite even their hatred and fear of him in that moment. He came to our earth in bodily form, our human form, to pay our price, to die our death, to stand between us and the devil and perform the duties that the first Adam failed to do, and that we, in our weakness and our sin, still fail so often. So let's consider the lilies in this world where death seems to be reigning. These lilies, these beautifully arrayed flowers, they don't live in paradise, the Garden of Eden, guarded by the cherubim. No, they live here in our broken, sin-filled, death-filled world. They live alongside the thorns and the thistles that would seek to choke them out. They have the insects, the snakes, the mold, the various diseases. They're trampled on often by children and dogs, maybe even eaten by deer and rabbits. So they're fragile on the one hand, but they're also beautiful and strong and enduring on the other. This is an analogy that the Lord would have us entertain. The lilies have glory. They adorn the earth. Not everything is miserable. Consider the lilies. Consider, you might even say, the baked goods, the smiles, the football, the art, the music. Again, the culture, leisure, rest of our people. That's one of my favorite petitions in our prayers of the church, when we pray for the arts and culture and leisure and rest. Because that's part of what it means to be a Christian. In the Soviet Union, communism, with its atheism pushing out Christianity, also pushed out arts and culture and leisure and rest. When the Egyptians were truly oppressing in slavery our Israelite ancestors, what is it that they kept the Israelites from doing? From resting, which is even overlapped with worship. So as we look out at creation and we look out at the chaos of our world, we also see the lilies. We see that death doesn't reign. And we look especially back in time, in that moment where it looked like the most that death reigned, when the light of the world was snuffed out, the Lord of life allowed rebellious men to put him to death. That's when it looked like death reigned the most. And he was laid to rest in his body, yet without his soul. He was laid to rest in the tomb, like a kernel of wheat in the ground, looking like even a trampled lily. And then he rose again on Easter morning, that victor over death, back out of the grave, a lily in the spring. He undid what sin had done. He gave Joseph of Arimathea back his tomb, good as new. Death did not reign. Jesus reigned. He showed his power over death then, and he shows his power over death now. Death by this death is dead. And the lilies return each year in glory. And we get to rejoice in not being anxious with how death can at times seem to reign. We can remember how Jesus still loves us, how Jesus still lives, how Jesus loves to make you live. And we can embrace what he said to Martha. I believe it was, but Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live, even now." And we, of course, we suffer many setbacks. You are grieved by various trials. The devil tempts you in your sufferings to sorrow, despair. The devil, his goal would have you to worry about money. He would turn you inward on yourself about how we're going to pay our bills, how to get what we want, how we can be successful in life, how we're going to ever graduate from this college. Just how are we going to survive till the end? And of course, Satan, he loves to get us to worry, to get us to be anxious about our children, our grandchildren, our country. He fills the news with tragedies and crimes and disasters, making it feel like they're pressing right upon us. He fills our cycles with lies and propagandas. The devil wears us down so often, buries us with holes that we feel like we just can't dig ourselves out of. And the Lord steps in and says, "You're right. You can't dig yourself out of that hole. You need resurrection. You need life and life abundant. You need promise. You need hope. Don't then be anxious. Cast your anxieties upon me." For the devil, he's chained up. He's defeated on the cross. So that even though he seems like he has the victory, seems like he's the one reigning with death, by no means. He's chained, he's done. So what is worrying? It is useless and even harmful. You only hurt yourself and those you love by your anxiety, even as you persuade yourself that if I'm anxious, that means that I'm serious about something, and that allows me to kind of even show God how serious I am as if I'm anxious about it. No, this is not what we need to do. We instead want to look to the solution to all of our anxieties, how Jesus lives. We can even use the anxieties to inform our prayers. What do you need to pray for? Well, what's that old Adam anxious about? So, the lilies, look at them. They're not anxious. The birds, not anxious. Your Father takes care of them. Your Father takes care of you. Even more intimately. He always has, he always will. Whether you're anxious or not, whether you're good or bad, he takes care of you. And this doesn't belittle your trials. When Jesus calls you to cast your anxieties on him, this implicitly acknowledges that you have troubles to cast upon him. So that he's even validating, that is, he knows the excruciating pain and sorrow that you go through, and that they need attention and action even now. Yet by calling you to cast those anxieties upon him, that's inviting you to believe that he will provide. We don't call upon a God we don't believe in. So he invites you to be still and know that he is God, to be at leisure, be at rest, and know that he shall give you everything that you need. He will give you the people you need. He will give even you to others in their needs, all according to his provision. And so we recognize and give thanks how God graciously arranges us together in the church, even in the world. He places you where you are in the relationships he would have you. He didn't give your children to someone else. No, he gave your children to you. He didn't give your parents to some other kids. He gave your parents to you. He weaves us all together according to his gracious good will, according to his provision. He's given us our temporal rulers, whether we like them or not. And no matter what happens hereafter in November, it is still God who reigns. It is still God who gives us our rulers. It is still God who gives them citizens in the church who will pray for them. This is how God binds us together. But November is still getting ahead of ourselves. Sufficient for today are the good works that he prepares beforehand for you to walk in and for others to walk in for you. Nothing is gained by imagining those troubles of what tomorrow would bring. Cast your anxieties to the Lord, lest fretting turns into sorrow, turns into bitterness, turns into envy, envy turns into fear. It is a vicious cycle. But break the cycle. Your Lord is almighty. Your Lord sees you and knows. And indeed, just like the lilies where they are, you are placed right where he wants you. You are clothed with what he's clothed you. You are empowered with skills given especially to you for you to see how you can serve others and to simply arise to the needs as they show themselves. So, what is anxiety? It is nothing. We don't need to be anxious about the economy or whatever it may be. And if you need to recognize your eyes in the news that you watch and the temptation that it is, tear your eyes away, or the hands that would go to whatever news cycle that brings you anxiety. Instead, let us flee to the Lord at all times, praying to the Lord unceasingly, believing that he will provide, and calling upon him in every trouble, he does provide. For he has washed you. He has even killed your old Adam in baptism, living and reigning within you, the Lord of life within you, advocating for you against death, feeding you with the bread of life. Jesus. He knows what he's doing, and he loves you more than he does the lilies, more than he does the birds. He loves you more than anyone else in your life loves you. And so he cares. In his way, in his knowledge, he cares, he reigns. In Jesus' name, amen.